Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick. I am joined by David Smith.
Yeah, hello.
The executive director of the Illinois Family Institute. If you are familiar with the pro-life movement, and chances are if you're listening to this, you are, you probably know the names of Joe and Ann Scheidler. This dynamic duo has spent the better part of their lives trying to protect babies from Big Abortion, Inc. Joe founded and is national director of the Chicago-based Pro-Life Action League. Ann is vice president of the organization. Mr. Scheidler, the author of Closed, 99 Ways to Stop Abortion, and his new autobiography is Racketeer for Life, Fighting the Culture of Death from the Sidewalk to the Supreme Court. Joe, the title of your book kind of gives an overview of what you've been doing over the past five decades to protect life. That fight began really for you even before the 1973 Roe versus Wade decision. What put you on the front lines for life?
Well, you know, I'd always known that abortion was wrong. I was in the seminary and learned out the moral evil of destroying an innocent life at any time, you know. So I knew that. But actually, it was a big conference. It was kind of held like a mob scene downtown in an open courtyard, and Henry Hyde was speaking, and I didn't know anything about it. And my wife, Ann, said, "Saturday afternoon." And I said, "Yeah, right, Notre Dame football."
And that's right.
Watching the TV, and she said, "No, we're going down to, was it Federal
Civic
Park?
Center, Civic Center at the time. Now it's called Daly Plaza.
So Daly Plaza, okay.
Yeah. Having taken a vow of obedience to my wife, we grabbed the three boys and we hiked down.
I never got that in writing then.
it had not to be in writing, it's just in action.
That's right.
Where did I go? I went to the Civic Center and with the boys. And when I was walking toward the center, we're about two blocks away, parking, somebody handed me Life and Death, which is a publication that actually shows you graphic, colored photographs of a baby before, you know, that's born alive but born very early, and a baby that was aborted.
What are you talking about, like 20 weeks along, 25, 30?
Actually, all through. If you open the thing up, it's got first trimester, second trimester, third. But on the back of it, there's a picture of about five babies in a black plastic bag, just their heads. They've been thrown like garbage into this garbage bag with black plastic. And the one little baby in the corner looked like my son Eric's baby picture.
Oh, boy.
And Eric's with us. And it became personal to me. They have killed my child. By killing anybody's innocent child, they've killed my child.
Mm.
They've taken something away from us, from our society. We'll never see, we'll never get to
That's
know
right.
this kid.
That's right.
And that is so abominable, so
right.
evil. That I listened to every word Henry Hyde said, and I went home and I was obsessed. And then from then on, my boss said, "Joe, you're losing interest in your clients." I said, "How can you be interested in your clients? Marlite paneling, Tallulah cheese, Shakespeare fishing tackle, when they're murdering my children."
Right, right.
And he said, "You're probably right." He said, "Here's what we'll do." And this was interesting. He said, "We'll keep you on. So you keep your insurance, keep your half salary, but you do this full time." That was Paul Fulmer.
Wow.
And and Paul's in the book.
Okay.
I just found out the other day he's still living in the Chicago area, but he's going to move to Los Angeles. So I got to get to see him, give him a book before he goes.
That's right.
He's going to convert Hollywood.
Right. I hope he does. They could use it.
Well, Ann, you're a pro-life leader in your own right. Did you have any idea of what you were getting into when you married Joe?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I mean, it was a total shift. I mean, he was a college teacher when I first married him, and then he went to work for the city of Chicago in public relations, and moved from to a public relations firm. You know, it seemed like a very typical, you know, dad goes out and earns the money and I stay home and take care of the kids and, you know, sit in the backyard and read books while they play in the pool. Stuff that stay-at-home moms
kids?
Get to do. We have seven.
Seven kids and a lot of grandkids?
24 grandchildren.
Wow. 24. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
It's wonderful fun.
So when you took, when you asked Joe to go down to the Daily Center to hear Henry Hyde and others, I'm assuming, was it a pro-life rally or was it something
different?
It was.
It was something that Illinois Right to Life was doing for a kind of an annual Respect Life event, and abortion was not legal in Illinois, and Illinois, believe it or not, was a conservative state.
It was at one point.
At the time. There was no chance that our legislature was going to vote abortion in. No chance. I mean, they had tried a few times, and it never even came to the floor because it was a pro-life state. So this is prior to Roe v. Wade, and we weren't paying attention. We didn't realize that these cases were going through the courts and that the whole culture was about to be radically changed. So it was just a matter of supporting Illinois Right to Life and their efforts to keep our state.
To promote a culture of life.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Roe v. Wade comes down the pike.
All of a sudden, yeah. This was October of 1972, and 3 months later,
right.
Roe v. Wade comes down, which a total surprise to us. We were not anticipating that at all. Nor did we ever consider that this would be our life's work.
Wow.
We actually were very naive because, like I say, we weren't paying attention. So we didn't realize that the culture had degenerated to the extent that it had. And when we got involved, we thought, a couple of years, when Americans realize that the unborn child is a human being, they will never stand for this. So all we got to do is show them that the baby's a baby in the womb. Everybody knows this. Let's just make this obvious. And we'll return to sanity.
But even today, with all the technology that we have, that we can see inside the womb and see that baby, you still have, I can't get it out of my head, I heard the debate on House Bill 40, which was the taxpayer funding of abortion bill in Springfield, and many of the state lawmakers got up, didn't defend or even talk about the fact that it was a baby. They avoided that.
Mm-hmm.
All they talked about was my right, my choice, and that's it. Yeah. I mean, in a way, they almost acknowledged that it was a very selfish decision. You know, it's just about me, nobody else.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think they've given up even attempting to justify, you know, oh, it's not a human being or something like that anymore. It's just my right. I get to do this. That baby doesn't have the rights that I have because this is what I want to do.
It is. That's exactly right. Yep.
You know, I heard one of the lawmakers on the floor of the state Senate when they were debating the bill, House Bill 40, say that this is 2017. We're beyond that. This is 2017. That's not progressive legislation. That's regressive legislation, isn't it, Joe?
Well, it's insane. It's just, you know, these people know this is the problem. If you're a rational person, you know how a human being comes into existence, how any kind of a living creature comes into existence. They don't care. That's the thing. Mm. There's a total loss of a sense of a creator. They don't believe. They can reason it out. They don't want to believe. They want to do what they want to do, and so they place themselves in, instead of God, it's me. And therefore, I make the decisions. Now, the problem with that is it's counter to what you are, a rational being, where you look for cause and effect. The science, which we're supposed to be so good at, all leads, without any doubt at all, to the coming of life at conception when an egg from the woman is impregnated by the sperm of a male. You have everything there that this human being will ever be, and we know that without any doubt, and yet they'll call it garbage. They'll say it's a woman's right. They'll make up anything
they want. It's not viable.
Yeah, it's not viable, doesn't have a head yet, or you don't know its name, or you know, a size.
But
yet
it has unique DNA, doesn't it? Right there at that moment of conception, it's got unique DNA.
Right.
And, you know, you tell these people who are pro-choice, it's human DNA. It's not like we're expecting a giraffe at first, you know?
And you know, a human being also is a person.
That's right.
We don't call a rabbit a person.
That's
we
right.
call a human being a person. So this whole idea about, well, it's not a person yet, we don't have a person, that's nonsense.
Absolutely.
The Supreme Court decision, one of the best things said about the Supreme Court decision was by one of the dissenters, Byron White, who said that it's an exercise of raw judicial power.
That's right.
Without precedent in the law. They knew themselves, the two dissenters and probably the other seven, that this was made up.
The right to choose to kill
your baby is a made up right. You don't
the
have
right to
it.
Privacy. Right.
Right. So we've had what now? Nearly 60 million, mortal sins.
That's right.
That have been committed against our posterity.
60 million abortions in America alone, right?
Right. That we know of.
And then about 40,000 a year here in Illinois.
Right.
40,000. I mean, that's bigger than most cities in the state of Illinois outside of Aurora and Chicago, right? It's pretty amazing.
It's a terrible number. If you had that many losses in a battle, you know, you'd say, well, we lost that one. And we've done that.
The White Sox would like to get 40,000 in their stadium, you know?
Right.
Of course, we're bemoaning the loss of population in the state of Illinois while we continue to kill off potential Illinois citizens.
And, you know, the liberals don't get this. They don't understand that a decreasing population, whether it's because of their policies or because of the murder in the womb, it does not lead to a prosperous economy.
No, it certainly does not.
No.
No, people
Are
do.
Are we not evidence of that?
You know, we got the moon sitting there with nobody on it, nobody making any money, and we got the world here with people.
That's right.
And yet they say, oh, we're overpopulated. No, you're not. No, you're not. We
no,
need
you know,
people.
The fact about that, too, is 7 billion people in the world, and if you took all of them and tried to put them in the state of Texas, and you've probably heard this before, each person gets about 1,000 square feet. Well, in your home with 7 kids, you would have had 9,000 square foot home, which would have been very nice, wouldn't it?
I wouldn't have been able to find them in such
that's,
a big
yeah, that's right.
I don't want to cut the lawn. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is Illinois Family Spotlight. Our guests are Joe and Ann Scheidler. We'll continue our discussion right after this.
Hi, this is Pastor McCracken, pastor of the Church of Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in Markham, Illinois. For the last 4 years, our church has been struggling to overcome the city's efforts to shut us down. In the midst of all of our legal issues, we felt overwhelmed and discouraged. All we wanted to do was worship the Lord and serve our community. We needed a law firm that not only had the knowledge of the law, but the same commitment of the kingdom of God. The Lord connected us with the law firm of Malcolm Baker. The attorneys at Malcolm Baker have not only provided us with exceptional legal representation and counsel, but have also provided us with the added gift of lawyers who pray with us and seek the guidance of the Lord at every step. After working with Malcolm Baker, we can't imagine working with anyone else.
Hi, this is Noel Stert, an attorney with Malcolm Baker. If your church or ministry has any legal needs, please call us 312-726-1243 or look us up online at maukbaker.com.
Americans have been traveling down the health insurance highway for decades. But lately, it's been taking us to places we don't want to go. For Christians, it's hard to know which road to take. Or is it? Samaritan Ministries provides a different direction, a biblical path for their members to pray for each other and share financially in each other's medical needs.
This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing. We, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This is what God intended for the church.
Do you believe that you need an insurance company, or do you believe that God will provide your needs? And there are people that you've never met before who are going to pray for you and meet your needs. There's another way.
Looking for a new direction for your health care? Visit us online at SamaritanMinistries.org.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, joined by David Smith, the Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute, and our guest, two familiar names in the pro-life movement, Joan Ann Scheidler of the Chicago-based Pro-Life Action League. And let me ask you this. What gave you the idea to start the Pro-Life Action League, kind of your own organization that doesn't really focus so much on legislation, but on street activism
and cultural engagement?
Yeah. Do you want me? You want to handle that?
Why don't you take it, Ann?
Okay. Well, when we first got involved, when Joe finally decided to go full time into pro-life, he started an organization based out of our house, Chicago Office for Pro-Life Publicity. The idea being to place ads in the newspapers showing the unborn child. It's turned out to be an abysmal failure because the ads were expensive and we couldn't get any support. And besides being expensive, the papers wouldn't run them anyway.
You're kidding me.
No. When they wouldn't
run.
Viewpoint
discrimination?
Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
Viewpoint discrimination, yes. They would not show the, I mean, we weren't trying to put a picture of an aborted baby in the paper. It was fetal development. We were trying to show the reality of human life. So then Illinois Right to Life needed a director, and they hired Joe starting out part-time and then rapidly went to full-time as the executive director. But Illinois Right to Life wasn't really comfortable with our street activism type of activity. We had come out of the civil rights movement and believed in the importance of being out on the street protesting.
And still today, fighting for the civil rights of the unborn.
Yes, exactly, because you know, how do you wake people up who aren't going to come to
well, you deny them the right to life, everything else is moot.
Absolutely. So so he was with Illinois Right to Life about three or 4 years, and they fired him for being too aggressive.
Well, one of the things I did, I went down to St. Joe College down at Rensselaer, Indiana. Birch Bayh was speaking, and Bayh was trying to make the pro-lifers think he was pro-life, but he was telling Planned Parenthood, I'm with you guys.
He was the senator from the state of Indiana at the time.
And giving the commencement address. So I drove down with a couple of friends, went up in the bleachers, and when Birch got up to talk, I took out my bullhorn, and I started talking, and I said, this man represents a pro-abortion position. You shouldn't have him here at Notre Dame on the Feast of St. Joseph on your graduation. Well, everybody parted and practically fell off the bleachers, and I had to walk down into a cadre of policemen, state police, guard. I don't know what all was going to happen. But fortunately, I got out of there because my uncle had just made a huge contribution to the college.
There you go.
And I mentioned my name was Scheidler, and Uncle Benno would not like for you to arrest me. So I got out. But the thing was, it did upset the pro-life action.
I bet.
Got in the paper. They got a lot of phone calls. So that was one of the type of things that I did that upset them.
We kind of have to look back. We've got the benefit of hindsight here now. And to say that, well, maybe we need to be a lot more aggressive in this fight for the unborn. I mean, we have our own Holocaust going on right here in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can't be awfully polite about that.
I don't think so.
No. You don't have to be nasty. But
Illinois Right to Life had a board, and they had to approve things. And
sure.
Joe would just, you know, act
I understand
aggressive.
That.
So we decided to start an organization that didn't need approval from anybody else. So it was Joe and me and one other person, and we could make all the decisions we wanted. You could decide, you know, at midnight that tomorrow morning we need to be out in front of such and such a politician's office or wherever you had to be to make your statement without approval.
And so speaking of not being so polite, when did you guys start doing the Face the Truth tour? Say that five times fast, right?
Yeah. Say that fast. 2000? Year 2000,
it was 2000, right.
But it wasn't our idea.
This is where you show graphic photographs of aborted babies right along main streets.
Right.
Yeah, and a life-size poster, 6 foot tall at least, right?
Yeah, as much. It's human life. It's grown life-size, right, because you barely can see over the top. And we show the pictures of development. The three trimesters, you know, and as the baby develops. Then we show what abortion does in each trimester. That's basically the story.
You've got a picture of a little baby you named Isaac, or somebody named Isaac, right? Or is it Isaiah? I can't remember.
We have Malachi.
I knew it was a Bible, a book in the Bible.
Right.
Malachi was named by the doctor who identified the age of the child. It was a baby that was found in the garbage outside of an abortion clinic in Houston, Texas.
In parts.
Mm-hmm. And they called in a pro-life doctor to verify how old is this baby, and the pro-life group there named the baby Malachi.
And that was 21 weeks old or so? Mm-hmm. That's right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we stand about 30 feet apart with the picture so people can see it from both sides, actually, right. On both sides of the street, you know, or at least the side that the drivers are on. And sometimes if we have over 100 people, it's very impressive.
I've been to a number of them, and you usually have it, well, you have it all the time, right? But the big tour is during the summer, mm-hmm. and you go around from north side of the city, downtown, all the way to the south side, whereas I usually join you because I'm a south right. sider. And I have to confess with you guys, you know, I haven't always been a fan of the graphic pictures, and back in when I first got involved in pro-family activism, we were really concerned about abortion. Pornography. We were going after because what the pictures actually do to your brain. And so I was coming at it at that angle, mm-hmm. saying, you know, these are not good pictures, violent pictures for little kids. Since then, I have grown to appreciate it because I think, as we've talked about already, we need to confront the culture with the truth, even if it is painful and disturbing, because that's sometimes the only way you can get people to move is when they get disturbed, right?
Well, that's how we got. I told you I saw the little picture of the baby. It looked like my son.
Well, that's a great point. How many people maybe move to action because of these signs out there like you were?
Well, I was at a table one time with seven pro-life leaders. We were having a conference in Chicago, and I just went around the table. I said, what got you active? What got you? Every single one was a graphic.
You're kidding me.
It was a picture. Every single one. Wow. Lila Rose, when she was a little girl, she happened to get a hold of the Handbook on Abortion by the Wilkies. Opened it up. There was a baby cut to pieces. She asked, Mommy, what happened to the baby? Well, I'll tell you, but, you know. And that got her thinking about babies being killed by, you know.
Yep.
And so seeing is believing. That you know, that they did that after the war. They showed you the people that were killed in the chambers.
That's right.
And so, and we believed them. We knew that there had been a Holocaust. People saw the pictures of a Holocaust. So to me, it was just as simple as 2 and 2 are 4, that if you show the pictures, you'll get the people at least knowing. And you say, I don't care if you're against them or not. The little kids take it differently. They'll say, who broke the baby? They don't know it, all that goes into an abortion.
Right, right.
It doesn't bother them much. But the parents need some excuse for us not showing those pictures.
Well, the Face the Truth tour begins when? Around July 7th?
It does.
Usually, yeah, this year it'll be July
7th. And I've noticed, I've covered several of these Face the Truth tours in my years in radio and now with IFI. I've noticed that it seems like you're getting more and more support from people who pass mm-hmm. by.
We mm-hmm. think so.
Mm-hmm. What do you think that is?
What do you think, Anna?
Culture is shifting ever so slowly to a pro-life position. I think there's a few reasons for that. One is probably that everybody has an ultrasound picture, of them. If you're 35 or younger, you certainly have got an ultrasound picture of yourself in your baby book. And maybe some people who are 40 or 45. There's an ultrasound, and so they knew that they were human beings prior to their birth. Another, I think, is the fact that there are so many post-abortive people in our culture now, many of whom do regret that decision and maybe have shared that either publicly or privately with their own, you know, sisters. And
the science has advanced so much that even preemies who are born 25 weeks, 24 weeks, they're saving these babies, and obviously they need some hospital time, but they grow into normal human beings.
Yes, it's amazing.
So how can it ever be permissible to do this in a 20-week-old or midterm abortion?
Right here in Chicago, we have a clinic that will abort a baby at 23 weeks, 6 days. Well, I know several people who had children at 22, 23 weeks, 24 weeks. You know, and in fact, a friend of my daughter's, her baby was born at, I think it was 24 weeks. It was 1 pound, 1 ounce, I believe. And, you know, the child is doing fabulously now. Well, the mom, who herself was adopted, was always kind of sympathetic to abortion until she saw her own baby and the reality that how perfectly formed, tiny, very, very tiny, and almost transparent skin, but perfectly formed, you know.
And today?
And
today's fine.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
You know, on one of our tours, just for the fun, we thought we'd keep a record of the women, just the women who stopped their cars, parked, got out, and told us that picture has just prevented me from having an abortion.
Are you kidding me?
One woman was on her way. She at that hour, she was to have her abortion. Others had them planned. And they would, now that's those are the ones who stopped, found a parking place in downtown Chicago.
Sure, and you're changing minds.
And came in, 22 women on that one tour kept their babies.
Oh, thank God.
And so that, you know, if you save 23 people from a fire, you're a fireman.
You're
a
hero.
You get medals and horns and everything else, flags. We can save them right out there on the street. They'll come up to you and say,
well, thank you for doing that because it's also a tremendous teaching opportunity as a dad of young children, and I've brought two or three or maybe even four of my children, my older children, to these events, and it is a tremendous opportunity to teach them also the pro-life
message.
It's
interesting to see what some parents will do. Some will hide their kids' eyes from seeing the pictures. You know, don't look, that's terrible. And others will walk over and show them on purpose. This is what's going on in America, and this is a baby that's been killed.
And just the innocent reaction was, how is this possible? Or why are they doing this?
Why would anyone do this to a baby?
You know, I mean, we can take a lesson from that, a note from that.
Yeah.
Well, where do you see the pro-life movement headed in the next couple of years?
You know, I really do see a conversion coming in abortion coming, but I see many other evils growing up. But from, you know, I say in my book, and the 50 years before abortion, we began to crumble morally.
Yes.
As a really moral country, believing in God, believing in a hereafter, that sort of thing, believing you marry one person, etc. That all started to crumble back in the 20s, 30s. Then we came up to abortion in the 70s, and from that we're now into same-sex marriage. We've got transgender stuff going on very quickly. There's been, unfortunately, a demoralization that I think started with abortion. And meanwhile, back to abortion, people know now more than they did, and I think we're winning. There are much fewer. There were like
on the
three.
Pro-life front, but you're right on these other issues, which are ironically also life issues, because homosexual couples cannot reproduce, not naturally at least, right? So, boy, wouldn't we love to talk to you more about this stuff?
Oh, we got to have you guys back.
Yeah, it explodes. It explodes.
We can do hours and hours and hours.
Oh, my goodness. And then we doctor-assisted suicide and IVF and snowflake children. There's a lot to talk about, Monty.
Well, there certainly is. Well, we're going to have a part two shortly, but we need to tell people how they can connect with the Pro-Life Action League, and how can people get a copy of Racketeer for Life?
Well, they can get it from Amazon, of course, and they can get it from Tan Books, or they can call our office, if I could give the number.
Yep.
773-777-2900.
That's the Pro-Life Action League.
And I'll sign it. Tell me your name, and I'll sign the
there
book
you go.
Right to you.
And that's a deal.
That's the advantage of ordering it from the Pro-Life Action League. You get the autograph copy.
That's right. And you got to love the name Racketeer, and you wear that as a badge of honor, and I think that's great.
You know, I'm so glad it wasn't some other crime that I would have. I like Racketeer. From Chicago, you wear a black hat. And
there you go.
And you just go to Illinois, ProLifeActionLeague.org.
Yes.
You can do that.
ProLifeActionDotorg.
ProLifeAction.org. Leave the league off. Just ProLifeAction.org.
The book's in our store.
We'll send you a book. It's
and
$25.
And you can get places and dates for the Face the Truth tour right there.
Yep.
Great. All right. Well, thanks so much. Joanne Scheidler from the Pro-Life Action League. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.